So over Shavuos, I had a conversation with my attendees to the Suddhas. One of the things I try and do during the Suddhas over Yom Tov is try and take a theme and play it out over the different Suddhas. So this year, I've done different things over the different years, but this year the theme was we were talking about in the Shavuos and beforehand, the idea of that a person has to find some element of a personal hanoah, gain, feeling, connection, emotion, to Torah and mitzvahs. And we divided Torah into four sections. We divided it into limud haTorah. That was one surah. We spoke about what are the types of emotions, how can a person feel emotionally connected to limud haTorah on a personal level, a practical level, etc. What are the benefits that a person gets out of it? And we spoke about tefillah was one. And one was about the idea of having boundaries and limits, lo sa'aseh. One is about mitzvah sa'aseh. Now, that was the four meals. So somebody asked me a question. L'char, that sounds like it's shlo lishma. And we know that's very important to learn to do Torah mitzvah lishma. So that's a good question. So I answered like this. I'll tell you the answer that I said. I'll tell you the answer that I wanted to say. Okay, the answer that I said is Rav Dessler points out that So Rav Dessler points out the Chazal say the word lo olam. In general, lo olam means always. That's our understanding of the word lo'olam, which means the Chazal is telling us the order has to be lo'olam and has to be always like this. If a person tries and to do it lishmo, it's not going to work. That thought really is a piece from Chaim Volozhiner, which he quotes on the Gaon. Pasuk says in Mishlei, "Ivelos adam tisalav darker v'al Hashem yizap lipo." So the person's foolishness is ivelos, his foolishness of a person tisalav darker causes path to go crooked. V'al Hashem yizap lipo. He's angry at Hashem. He said, "Hashem, I have such a rutz and I have such an interest, I have such a desire, and I tried so hard and it didn't work. Why didn't you help me? How are you talking that you didn't help me?" And the answer the Gaon says is because you didn't do it right. You didn't do it step by step the way you're supposed to. You did it. You jumped to madrigas which are beyond you, and the person cannot maintain madrigas which are beyond himself. And by attempting to do so, the result is going to be that you're going to fall. So you blame the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The reality is, it was your own fault. So Chaim Volozhiner gives a mashal to a melech who gave a tzav to his am. He wants them to climb up this climb up this ladder. The owner, the boss, tells his worker go up to the roof, and the worker goes and he gets the ladder. He says, "Excuse me, I told you to go to the roof." He says, "Yeah, I'm going to the roof." He says, "No, you're supposed to jump to the roof." He says, I can't jump the roof. I have to do it step by step. And he's not going to be tied. No bar das would have a tie on the person that he does it step by step. Right? That's how you're supposed to do it, step by step. But he thinks, by Torah mitzvahs, you know, like we learned Shavuos and we heard all the good Shavuos and Rabbi Rangel said, by the Nilas Chag, you punch it, you know, yeah. So I'm going to now learn like 17 hours a day for the rest of my life. You know, ridiculous. It's not going to work. You know, it's not going to work. The person has to move forward step by step. So that's right. The Chazal said, "Lo'olam" means that the Chazal is telling you that it doesn't work the other way. If a person does not find a way to have an emotional connection, a way to have a feeling of benefit, a feeling of that somewhere where he feels connected to it, that the whole being of the person, the goof and the neshama, he has enjoyment, he feels happy that he's doing it because it's not just this pressure that he's creating upon himself. If he cannot find that, it will not be matzliach. That's what Chazal is telling us. That's what I said. What I wanted to say, I was listening to a shir, and they quoted from Rav Henoch Leibowitz Zatzal. He has the Sefer Chidushei Lev, and so in the Sefer Chidushei Lev, he talks about he has a shmuz. We ask in Aaron. It says we ask in Aaron. She says over the we ask in Aaron. after he's given the mitzvah to put on the bidei kohuna, etc., that melamed that when Aaron put on the bidei kohuna, he put it on not l'shem his own hanov, he did it l'shem, totally l'shem shemayim. So he has the aura. He says, you know, I mean, like, you know, talk about Aaron HaKohen. So Aaron HaKohen was a person who was ready to when his younger brother was given the shalich, he was a Novi already in Mitzrayim. He was a Novi to Klal Yisrael. His brother is out who knows where. All of a sudden, he comes back and gets a message from Kadosh Baruch Hu, Nuvu from Kadosh Baruch Hu, that your brother, younger brother, has been appointed the one who's going to be the goal Yisrael, and you're his second in command. Your job is just to repeat what he says to Paro. You've basically been demoted to a mouthpiece. What's his reaction? Varach of a stomach libay. The madrega of Aaron HaKohen is beyond our comprehension. So the pasuk, you should know, you want to know a shevach to Aaron HaKohen. Shevach to Aaron HaKohen is, he did it for the right reasons. Of course he did it for the right reasons. We expect any lesson from Aaron HaKohen? We wouldn't expect any lesson from Aaron HaKohen. This is vice to chais. We see that the chiddush of what the pasuk is telling us, even Aaron HaKohen, to do it totally lishmo, is quite a madrega. And I can account that the pasuk has to stress that even Aaron HaKohen was able to do something like this totally lishmo. Okay, that's a very good horror. Then he says, by the way, he says, but our generation is not a good idea. He says, why is it not a good idea? He says, we're going to have one of two options. Either the person will. The reality is we're doing a shalom lishmo. That's the reality. See, but a person's going to think he does a lishma, so he has a total unawareness of what his reality is, which is a horrible thing, because if you don't understand who you are and what you are, you're going to mess up in a major way at some point in time. Or the opposite, since he understands he's supposed to do lishma and he's not doing lishma, he'll be so frustrated with himself, be so disappointed that he's not going to be happy with his accomplishments, and that is not a good idea. So he mentions there's a Tiferes Yisrael in the Mishnah in Ovis. So in the Memches Devarim Shatar Nixas Behem, one of the Memches Devarim is Hamakris Mekaymoi, and the next one is Sameach Bechelkei. So what is Sameach Bechelkei? So the Tiferes Yisrael says, so it is a year Liboy Sameach Tomid, a person Sameach Bechelkei, he's a very happy person. Yavin, he'll understand what he's learning. Begam Yisker, Ayin is at Talmudot. He'll remember. He's learning better. Ki ein dover shemazik lecharitzus ulizikara nulishkida. There's nothing which damages a person having diligence, remembering and focusing. Kamoi ha'atzus vadaygus. There's nothing which could share your learning and the ability to learn, to focus your learning, to remember your learning, and to get a clarity in your learning is a person who is an otzeif, person who is unhappy. I think I mentioned to you once, I remember I did mention to you once, but a lot of people here either haven't heard it or have heard it in a while, right? I once asked the Shiva of Chaim Zichron Livracha the following question. I saw a beautiful, they put out a sefer for Rav Dessler, letters, etc., that he wrote, and so we're there, early on in the sefer, I just purchased the sefer, I was flipping through it, I found over there that Rav Dessler would keep up. Rav Dessler's reality was that he was like running all over the place. He was in Kufa, he was in London, and he was running his car in Gateshead. And then he was in Gateshead, and he came to the Mashkiach in Ponyevich, but his Tamidim and Gateshead refused to let go of him, so he would write letters. He constantly was writing letters to all of his talmidim, and he had chaburas with them. They didn't have the telephone; they weren't using the telephone in those days. So it was through letters. He would send them a mimer, and they would work together through the mimer, and they would send back their questions, and he would send back. It was back and forth. That's how he did it. So he has over there a letter that he's discussing with that he's presenting to his talmidim. He doesn't understand something which we say every single Shabbos, every Yom Tov. We say in the paragraph of Elokeinu Melekeinu Avoseinu. We talk about the idea of Sabeinu Mituvecho. Says, I don't understand what is that referring to? If it's referring to Gashmias, it doesn't flow from the paragraph. It talks about Torah, Mitzvahs, Samchene Bishua Secha, Yeshua Hashem, and also, by the way, you should know we should have a lot of Gashmak of Gashmias. It doesn't seem to fit in the flow. Selamite's going on Ruchnius. So what does it mean, Sabeinu Mituvecha? How can a person be Saveya from the tribe of Ruchnius? So what's going on? Gashmi doesn't fit in the whole paragraph. Right, we're talking about the idea of that a person should be seichel kenem b'sar secha, and he's dam kenem mitzvah secha, right? And some kenem mishu secha, but tahir libeda love tochah be'emes, and we should have geshmak cake also. I mean, like, you know, it just doesn't seem to fit. And if someone rukli is, it doesn't make any sense. So he says he doesn't understand pshat in the tefillah. This is the horror that Rav Dessler writes. It was shortly before Sukkot Ben Hazman. Remember, Sukkot Ben Hazman already. So I'd seen this aura. I think it was over Yom Tov. I looked at the Sefer. So Chol HaMoed, I was back in Cleveland. I decided to stop. I went to Rashi Reb Chaim for the Chol HaMoed for a visit in the Sukkah. So I asked him the question, what he thought. So without batting an eyelash, he gave me an answer. He says, of course, it's referring to Ruchnius. He says, let's explain the question. He says, let's understand what the question. The question is, what do you mean that a person must be surveyor? Surveyor means that you're surveying, and therefore you're feeling you don't have to do anymore. So he says, I don't know about some of you, but I have this major problem I have at home, Baruch Hashem. My wife is a phenomenal baker, right? So I had this aura one time that, a person eats a piece of cake and really enjoys a piece of cake. Says, okay, I enjoy the piece. You're at Sigavet. That very rarely happens. Usually what happens is I want another piece. Now, sometimes it's not a good idea, but that's a different issue, right? But if you like it very much and you feel a very geschmack of feeling about it and you enjoy it very much, what's going to be the result? You want more. So a person who is Oisik and Ruchlius and feels a gewaltige Sviya from his Ruchlius, he feels Pashtik, he feels Morley Simcha, he has so much Ruchlius and it's such a geschmack of feeling to be full of Ruchlius, the result is not going to be Yoitzigavan. The result is going to be I want more. But if the feeling is I don't have severe from my ruchnius, I'm constantly with that, it's not enough. You're never doing enough. It's not good enough. You should be learning more. You should be knowing more. You should be chazering more. You should be remembering more. You should be more oisik and mitzvah. You should come on time and davening it earlier. So you're not going to be motivated to be oisik and Torah mitzvahs. The whole thing is just a burden, a painful burden, because it's never good enough. This is a challenge which we have in our generation, I think. That, in many yeshivas, that's the message. At least when I grew up in yeshiva, that was the message. And in many ways, that was the message. It was a Musar yeshiva. That definitely, the Musar yeshiva meant that you always expected to do more. Like, that was the definition of a Musar yeshiva. Right, so if you learn one blot a week, so okay, no, so I can't let it say blot the book, and you came on time for davening, you can come earlier to davening, and if you daven, everything was like, you see, you can do it, it's no more. It was like, so you walked away with this, and I was back in Cleveland, so I spoke to the Carlo. They asked me to speak to the Carlo about the balance of helping your being with your family and the responsibility to yeshiva. That was the topic. So I said, I can't answer the question. It's a very hard question. Let me demand the question. I said, you want your wife to be willing to let you be, she's going to be moisture nefesh and be makrif herself to allow you to sit and to learn. She deserves one thing. She deserves to feel good about what you're accomplishing. You come over this and how would you say, I didn't learn enough? I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm so frustrated with my learning. Do you really think that's fair to your wife? He said, but the problem is that's our chinuch in yeshiva. The chinuch in yeshiva is like, that's called learning. All right, or even if we don't say it wasn't, it's not expressed, it's not actually expressed, but you look at your rebbeim and say, and you say to yourself, that's called learning, look at them, So that's the message. So how in the world are you going to make your wife happy? So what does this woman want? So I'm talking from experience, because one day my wife actually said it to me, and she's like, what do you want from me? My wife, when I was in Carlo, like now, Baruch Hashem, I didn't know what the inside of a store looked like. I think for 3 years, I never set foot inside of a store. I came home, I ate, I went to yeshiva, I learned, that was it. I didn't do anything. My wife did the wash, my wife did the cooking, my wife did the cleaning, my wife took out the garbage, everything. One chintz you want from me. I should be happy with my learning. And that I can't give her. It's not fair. That was the horror that I told the Yungle life. And I was talking from experience. And my wife, Baruch Hashem, as usual, was right. Told me, they pointed it out to me. But what do we want from a bacher? Where do you draw that line? What's called being happy with your accomplishment? So I was listening to this shir, And he said a fascinating aura. And it, the months of, you know, a maisa which I had. So maisa, there was somebody here in yeshiva years and years back who walked around with a chip on his shoulder, shall we say. A very large chip on his shoulder. Right? Now, I'm going to explain something. You know, for some strange reason, the thought process of the Bochum who came to the yeshiva, you know, the guys who came with chips on their shoulders, was that Rabbi Baron is this nice, sweet, wonderful guy. Whatever you do is fine. And Rabbi Rangel is the guy who's out to get you. Like, you know, he's so officially was the mashkiach then, and those that point in time also, which of course the help for that process, etc. So I had a young man over here who was getting married, and I was very nervous about him. I felt that there were some issues about it. I was concerned about his marriage. He was grappling with a lot inside of himself, and I afraid it was going to come out inside of his marriage. So I told him I want to speak to him. He was interested in talking to me, because what do I know about marriage, you know? Like, you know, he, of course, understands much more than I do about, you know, marriage. Of course, I'm married and he's not, but that's a detail, which, you know, why should we spoil realities with, you know, understandings with details? So I said, you know, I said, listen, let's just get together one time and we'll talk. So he says, okay, fine. So what do you want to tell me? Like, that was like the... I says, I'm very concerned about your marriage. You know, what do you know about being a good husband? He says, listen, let me explain you something. He says, my father was a horrible father and a horrible husband. That was his first words. That's great, you know. So my father would yell at my mother in front of the kids. My father would be mean to my mother. He says, I remember one time my mother served something for supper. My father didn't like it. My father took the supper and threw it at my mother in front of the kids. Okay, he's right. That was not a very good smart idea, right? I think it was meatball and spaghetti, so you can imagine the result of that, etc. Okay, fine. It's okay, so what are you going to do about it? He says, my wife can do whatever she wants. I have no tannas on my wife. She can do whatever she wants. I just have one hakpada. When I come home from work, I want supper on the table. So I looked at him, I says, you know what? I think you're the same as your father. He gave me this look. What do you mean, same as my father? My father had all these demands. I only have one demand. He says, no. Let me explain something. He says, your father had many demands, and each one he was not willing to be mevater for his wife. You have only one demand, but that one demand you're not willing to be mevater for your wife. So what happens if one day she doesn't have supper on the table? What are you going to do? She goes, listen, I was mevater on this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. How dare you not have supper with me? So what are you saying? That supper is more important to you than your wife. The day that you're going to be a good husband, the day you can walk in and there's no supper on the table, you're going to say to your wife, you know what, my dear, don't worry about it, because you're more important than supper. Then you'll be a good husband. He gave me a look like I had punched him in the solar plexus, because I called him like his father. But that also broke the ice that I might know something more about marriage than him. So that was, you know, that was broke the ice. Now, so we started talking about, he tells me he has a complex, he hates people who have beards. That's what he said. Now, let me rephrase that. You know, the guy who rides the motorcycle who wears a beard doesn't bother him. But rabbis who have beards bothers him. So I asked him, why don't you like people with beards? He says, well, he had a bad experience with a rabbi with a beard. Now, so what was his bad experience? And I have to tell you that he was right. So since he told me that, you know, he says he had a lot of challenges. He's we know that, you know, I knew that. But now you should realize that he had, you know, a nice guy, really nice guy. he is. I'm telling you. So he said, in ninth grade, he really did not perform at all. And he went to, you know, actually knew who was the manal of the place he was talking about. And in 10th grade, he said, you know what? He decided he really wants to put himself into his learning. Davening, forget about it. He didn't show up for davening. But he really learned that year. And his Rebbe had the seichel to understand that he has to focus on what he's accomplished. This young man went from not learning to learning. It's a phenomenal accomplishment. Davening was like, forget about it. It just wasn't the game. He didn't know what, you know, he didn't know the inside of a base medrash for davening. His Rebbe, at the end of the year, at the end of 10th grade, when they gave out the awards by the graduation, gave him an award for his accomplishment of learning. Phenomenal. Kudos to that Rebbe. The next day in the hall, the school isn't over. The ceremony usually a few days before the end of school still, and the yeshiva. Next day, he was walking through the hallway, and he meets his menahel. And his menahel said a line to him. Now, remember, this is in 10th grade. I'm talking to the fellow. It's probably about 7 years later. And this remark is still, you hear him still smarting from this remark. And the menahel says to him, listen, I know you got the reward recipe, but don't think that you're such a big tzaddik, because unless you don't show up for daven. That's what he said to the bachur. Now, I'm sure that, he had probably, that's what the young man quoted that he said. I don't know what he said, but that's what the young man heard. So that story, I have to tell you, that this is a mice of 15 years ago. I still remember that story, because that was a bad move. He says, at that point in time, his response is, I wanted to take my yarmulke, throw it off in front of the Rebbe, stomp on it, jump, and walk out of the building. And took every ounce of self-control not to do that, and not to walk out of Yiddishkeit. That's what he told me. And from then on, I don't like people with beards. I said, okay. I understand where you're coming from. There is a mimer, which goes like this. How many people have heard that mimer? That phrase, in some form of it, Where there's a will, there's a way, right? And we know that's a Yiddish thing, right? There's no such chazal. It's not a chazal. The first place where it comes up is in one of the early Akhranim, I think. It's not a chazal. Ramatis Yo, in Mount Neskayim, has the following to say about this mimer. Basically, Chavis Lubavitch says like this, that in the Lassid Lavoi, person's reward is not for what he accomplished. The good or the bad. Because the good or the bad, the person decides what the person is going to accomplish. The person is rewarded for his bechira and his effort. So the person who attempts to do something bad, and the Bereshim allows that to happen. So the result wasn't in his hands. He could not destroy something with the Bereshim didn't want it to be destroyed. But since he was Bercher Berah to do that, he gets punished. And vice versa, in the Tzad HaTzayv. When a person puts an effort into doing something Tzayv, the result of doing something Tzayv is up to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Yuskar that you get is for the decision that you want that. Says Ein Lecha Dor Ma'amim V'Zayin Rotzen means the Bereshim never stopped you from allowing you to have Rotzen. You can choose whatever you want to hit. You can choose what you want in this world. What will happen is not up to you. As a matter of fact, he said it's probably it's close to Apikorsis and Kfira to say that it's up to you, because the Bereshim runs the world. Which means, in a translation like this, there's a person, whichever reason, the Bereshim wants this person to mutcher his kishkas out in learning. So, if you really want to learn, you're being successful. And since you're successful, so right, you know what? Aha, burn a Gehenna. Right? That's the thought process that we all have. Wrong. The Bereshim wants you to work hard and not be successful. And work hard anyway. The result is not up to you. The result is up to him. The decision of what you want is up to you. And maybe what the Bereshit wants from you is the guy who's going to try and try and try, even though he's not successful. And that's exactly what he wants from you. And that's where you're going to get schar for Olam Haba, which might be even greater from the guy who's successful. It's a phenomenally big Kiddush. If I wouldn't say the name of Rav Israel, you'd probably throw me out and say, oh, I'm the Apikorus. But Brooklyn, I could hide behind somebody bigger than me. Do you hear what we're saying? This young man was going through, I cannot imagine the emotional turmoil that a person has of living with a father like that. Not just the other side, it's sometimes emotional turmoil. The Rav Hirsch says a beautiful thing. He says, there's one of the Aseret HaDibros says, Kabed Ezeh B'Chuves Imecha. And he says, it's not just, of course, it's high, which is what the Kinnon says, and that's very important, etc. He says, because you don't understand something. Where do we learn how to be Mechaber HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Where do we learn how to relate to authority? Where do we learn how to relate to commands? Through our parents. When we have relationship with our parents, which is healthy, and we see what it means to have a loving parent, we understand that a demand and a command and an expectation comes from love. We know how to transfer that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and understand that the person's expectations from us come from his love for us. And a child that does not have a parent like that doesn't know what it means to have a loving father in heaven. Rabbi Alaska has a tape which talks about, you know, the guy comes to Yamin the Royim. And Yamin the Royim is like, you know, if it's very challenging. Yamin the Royim is very challenging. So, you know, if some of you might have heard the tape. You know, it's a very good tape to hear. Like, you know, so the Chazan gets up. He says, you know, when he says like this, you might die with this, you might die with that. You might die with this, you might die with that. Die, die, die. You know, like, you know, he says, you know, so do we get a choice? Can we pick, you know, which one we want? Well, since you sinned horribly, you're going to burn in Gehenna forever, and you're going to die through either Chanukah, Skila, etc. Says, my dear, our dysfunctional father in heaven. That's what you end up with, you know, because I'm going to get out to get you because you're horrible. Is that really how our picture of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That he's out to get us? Well, where do we understand that that's not true when we have a relationship with our parent, that is otherwise? And a person who doesn't have that doesn't know what it means to have a loving father. Now, I've been in the world of chinuch for many years, and I have to tell you, I've seen this in reality. That it's not an uncommon problem. So this young man who chose to overcome his lack of desire to learn, and he made tremendous efforts in that. Why in the world are you throwing at him that he's not ready to relate to davening yet? Why are you doing that? Again, I don't know the story, real story. That I have to also learn from experience. When my son went to first grade, I made an arrangement with the Rebbe, and I told him this. So this, here's the deal. I will not believe everything my son says in your name. Please do not believe everything my son says in my name. You know, my father said, really? You know, you really think he has enough to understand what his father really said? You know, just do me a favor, just don't. And it's like some servants said, some servants quoted to have said that he told the people, he says, I have no problem if you quote my Torah on your name. Just do me a favor, don't quote your Torah in my name. Right? I don't know what really happened. But if this young man walked away with that, our goal is to try to find a way that a person should be able to sameach b'chelko. What he is accomplishing is he should feel a feeling of accomplishment. And understand that maybe it's so difficult for him, and that's exactly what the accomplishment is. The sameach b'chelko has to be that the person has to walk away. You know, I really feel good with what I accomplished. And my wife told me, Gavaldi Gahora, after these sessions, he said, you know, it said, the people are giving different answers why they, you know, he said, it scared her that we grapple with the answer. Why do you enjoy, what gives you a good feeling about davening? Like, give me reasons why you enjoy davening. Like, that was the question. Like, why would you think that you gain, from, because in heaven you'll get more reward, which, like, you know, but give me practically why davening, you know, relate to the idea of davening. And people had difficulty with that question. What do you gain out of learning? That your person should say, you know, I really feel like I'm gaining from my learning. I'm a different person. I feel good about myself. It's a geschmack. I feel I've gained so much. I feel I've gained so much in life skills. What are the answers? Why do I feel good the fact that I have lo sases? What gives me that warm, fuzzy feeling that I have lo sases? How do I relate to the fact that I feel good about that fact? What talks to me about it? And people were grappling with the answer. That was scary. The best way to make you motivated to want to do it again is to feel good about the fact that you did it the first time. So our generation is not the generation that's going to do it lishma. That's wrong. We're not holding there. Our generation is a generation that's going to do it because it's geschmack. Now, I'm not telling you we can't talk about Yiras Oynish and Yiras, you know, that's important also. The next one is, if you want, we can do that, you know. Right? And certain people, you know, I just warn you up front so you wouldn't have to come, you know, if you can't handle it. But a person, I'm not talking about, you know, shame shemaim. I'm like, you know, we have to find a way that we walk away feeling good. And if a person means that for him to feeling good means that he learned an hour a day, he learned an hour straight, and he felt good about that, he learned an hour, that's fine. Well, the guy next to me learned 17 hours. Why is that relevant? For you, that was an accomplishment. For you, that was what the Bereshit wanted from you at this moment. So each person has to sit and think, what do I get out of learning? Why do I feel good about the fact that I learned something? How does that make me feel better about myself? How does it make me feel better about my relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu? How does that make me feel about my life skills that I have, that I will have? Okay, so I don't know that you won't have my life skills at all, but I'm just learning because that's what you're supposed to do. That's a scary answer. Why does it feel good to live in a world with limitations? You know, we live in a society which the message is that limitations are bad. That it's good to be amoral, not immoral, but amoral. Right? If you're moral, that's a dirty word. It's evil, because that means you're a bigot. You know. Why do I feel good about the fact that certain things are wrong? Why does it make me feel good? Right? I'm serious. And we need to answer that question for ourselves. We mentioned an idea. We spoke about it before Shavuos. That's our simcha. That's the Sameach B'Chalkoi. I just end with, there's a famous goyin. The Chofetz Chaim quotes this goyin, which I actually had not heard it years ago. I forgot all about it. This was into the shir, he mentioned it. I said, wow, that's a machzor aveda, poshet the Shabbos aveda. There's a ton of leyo. The ton of leyo says, just like we have a mitzvah to be sameach, a concept of being sameach b'chalkei, Kodesh Baruch Hu also is sameach b'chalkei. So the Chofetz Chaim says, what does it mean, Rosh Hashem sameach b'chalkei? What does that mean? Sameach b'chalkei. Sameach b'chalkei means like, you know, it came out lacking, but you know, you're sameach b'chalkei. Like, I really wish I had $50 million. I only have 50 cents. Sameach b'chalkei, right? You know, the Baruch, what does it mean the Baruch is lacking that he's sameach b'chalkei? So he brings that Rechaim Volozhiner asked this question to the Goyin. And the Goyin answered that what's the chelik of Kodesh Baruch Hu? Chelik Hashem Amo, Yaakov Chevon Achlosoi. Kleishel is the Baruch Hu's chelik. And you know what? We're wanting. We come up wanting sometimes. And the Baruch Hu is very happy with us because he's proud of Kleishel. Even though we're lacking. Even though we're not perfect. That the Midah Tov is Merubim Midah Peronius, 500 times more. So if we understand that Baruch Hashem sometimes has expectations from us, and if we don't meet those expectations, that there's going to be some type of retribution, because that's important. We have to understand that 500 times more, the Baruch Hashem is happy the fact that when we accomplish something good. So the little thing that we accomplish is a tremendous hanot to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Even though we're not perfect. And the Baruch Hashem is Sameach B'chalkei. And our job is to maybe try to, as we can, to increase the Rosh Hashanah simcha in his chelik. We should be zeichet to be sameach b'chalkoi, and our Rebbe Madrega, help HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be sameach b'chalkoi.